today, and we are on Noah, part one. We'll do, obviously, Noah, part two next week, and just put the puzzle pieces together for you on that. But this story is about God's judgment and also God's mercy. As we're going through characters of the Bible, we are really seeing some incredible stuff. We've talked on Adam and Eve so far. We've talked on Cain and Abel. We talked online last week, since we did not have church, on Esau. Or not Esau, on Enoch. And so when we shared about Enoch, it was a picture of what's going to happen in the future when Jesus comes back to catch up his church. It was an incredible study and sermon. And so today we're on Noah. And I just want to read a couple verses as you turn to Genesis 6 today. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus told him, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus is saying he's the only door. Nobody comes to heaven to his Father God unless you go through Jesus Christ. It's not through anyone else. It's not through any other prophet. It's not through any other philosopher or any other type of teacher. If you want to go to heaven, you got to go through Jesus. He is the door. He is the gate. Nobody can get in without him. Genesis chapter 6, 9 through 14. Here's the account of Noah. And the Bible says this also of his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the Bible says this, "Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt." I want you to think about that. The entire earth. And we're talking about all of God's creation. The free will, they chose to do evil, except for Noah and his family. And the Bible actually says that Noah was the only blameless person on the earth. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone had on the earth become corrupt. So God said to Noah, "I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them out along with the earth." And here's what he told Noah, verse 14. "I want you to build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct the decks and stalls throughout the interior." So what happened is this, and this is where we're trying to show Jesus through the Old Testament and all the stories that we do. So he builds this boat. He's faithful. As we look at this story, and we'll see in a few moments that God is the one who shuts the door on the ark. It wasn't Noah. It was God. So God is showing from the very beginning here, when there is a worldwide judgment, okay? We're not talking a judgment on a city like Sodom and Gomorrah, a couple cities. We're talking the only worldwide judgment we've ever seen and have an account on is the account of Noah. And so as you look at the bigger picture, what does that tell us about the future that we're going to talk about? That God is the one who's in charge. He is just looking for faithful people to do what he's asked to do. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says this, "It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood." So he had to obey God. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. That takes faith. Is anybody with me? They've never happened before. But he believed what God told him. And I'll be honest with you, the warning that comes in the New Testament about the next worldwide judgment is going to be with fire. I've never seen the whole earth burn, okay? But the fact is, that's what's going to happen one of these days with a worldwide judgment. And if you are with Christ, you are not going to receive his wrath on that judgment. Is everybody clear on that? Amen. Jesus came to save you from the wrath of God. And when that wrath is going to be poured out, okay, worldwide one day, and I'll show you scriptures today and prove this, that those that follow Jesus, just like Noah and his family, followed God. When these times come, God's got your back on this. And so as we look at this morning, just like in Noah's day, and again, when we look at these scriptures here, the Bible talks about that by his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world. He was the only one that believed God. And he received the righteousness that comes by faith. So Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Just like in Noah's day, our world is heading to the exact same direction. So the Bible says this, "Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. Man, it sounds like a lot today, doesn't it? I don't know that we're there that everybody is, because there's still a really good remnant of people that believe in Jesus and are following him, but we are definitely on that way to where our whole world system is definitely violent. I mean, when you've got rhetoric out there that talks about murdering people that are trying to do their jobs, okay, that's violence. Whether you like it or not, that's called violence. And so when we look at this, it's not just that. The murder rates, the things that have happened on this earth, it's a very violent place. Matthew chapter 24 gives us an insight, and this is where we're going to really tie in Jesus with this today. The Bible says this in verse 37 of Matthew 24. When the Son of Man, and we know that is Jesus, when Jesus returns, it will be like it was in whose day? Pretty interesting. That right there should get your attention. When Jesus returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and they were enjoying parties. They were enjoying weddings. Watch this. Right up to the time that Noah entered the boat. People did not realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when Jesus returns. So he's saying, if you want to know what the future looks like, you need to look back at the story of Noah. It's real simple. And honestly, when you read the story of Noah, it's an incredible story of an incredible man with incredible faith, but yet you also have to look at where he lived and what he lived through, and it was corrupt and violence everywhere. Genesis 6, 9, and 10, again, put it like this. Even though everything was violent and corrupt, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, and he was the only blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in what? Close fellowship with God. Last week, online, we saw that Enoch walked in close fellowship with God, and God literally took him up to heaven. And so it was a beautiful picture of what's going to happen in the future one day. But church, as we look at this again, today we have Christians who do truly love Jesus just like Noah did. And just like Noah was prepared for the first judgment, the worldwide judgment, we need to be ready for the second one. So where does all that come into play? We just read a scripture that says that when Jesus returns, it'll be just like in the days of Noah. But go to 2 Peter with me real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3. The Bible puts it this way, and this is, it's really concerning, because the same attitude that you see in the book of Peter is the same attitude that is today. There's scoffers, there's mockers, there's people that say, this is just a fairy tale. And watch what the Bible says here. Very interesting. Peter says this. This is my second letter to you. And obviously, in the Bible, we've got 1 Peter. But he says this, and in both of them, I've tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and our Savior commanded through your apostles. So everything that the prophets said and the apostles and what Jesus said. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come. They're going to mock the truth and they're going to follow their own desires. Verse 4. Here's what they're going to say. What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? And if you remember Matthew 24, it says that when Jesus returns, it'll be like the days of Noah, right? But here's what they're going to mock. They're going to mock and say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors. Watch this. Everything has remained the same since the world was first created. How many of you know that's the lie right there? And watch this. Peter shows the lie that they believe. Verse 5, they know the truth, but they deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by his word of his command. And the Bible says this, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Verse 6, then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. That's going to be the second worldwide judgment. They're going to be kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. Notice it says the day of judgment. So when Jesus returns, okay, that day, that is when the judgment's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of judgment before then as you read the book of Revelation, but the day that it's going to burn is the day that Jesus returns again. That's going to be the day of judgment. And I want you to notice this, please. I know these topics make people uptight at times, but it shouldn't, because if you believe in Jesus, then he is your ark of safety today. If you believe in Christ and you follow him, then he is your ark of safety. Okay? If you're a Christian and you're a believer, you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Listen, you're not going to be a recipient of God's wrath. And I want you to see this here. Notice in the very end of there, it says this, when ungodly people will be destroyed. It doesn't say godly people. It says those who reject Jesus, those who continue to deliberately mock him. Matthew 24:37, again, when the Son of Man returns, it will be just like in the days of Noah. And let me take you to 2 Timothy real quick. Here's the Apostle Paul. Here's what he says about the last days. He said, you should know this in 2 Timothy 3:1. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. Matter of fact, the Bible says there'll be terrible times or horrible times. For people will love only themselves. They'll love only their money. They will be boastful. They'll be proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They won't consider marriage sacred anymore. They won't consider family sacred or even the church. And we're watching that today. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and they will hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They'll be puffed up with pride. And let me say this. This is interesting. Last night, how many of you are familiar, or maybe you have a friend over here at First Baptist in West Plains? Anybody? Yeah, a lot of you do. There's a new pastor that came in last fall. His name is Bo. I've already met with him. He's an incredible pastor. The guy loves the Lord. He loves the Bible. He preaches the Bible. But let me show you the difference between 3.5 hours. First Baptist Church here in West Plains is an incredible godly church with a godly leadership and an incredible congregation of people that love Jesus. 3.5 hours away up in Columbia, Missouri, last night, First Baptist Church in Columbia brought in a drag queen to their church, and they had a concert and storytelling time at their church last night. So if that doesn't shock you in the day in which we live, it should shock you, because nothing is held sacred anymore, not even the church house. And church, as we look at this, it talks about they will be full with pride. They'll be puffed up with pride. And they'll love pleasure rather than they love God. And I think what made me so angry about what happened last night in Columbia is the children that had to be there to watch that. That people, that families took their kids. I mean, you talk about bringing evil into a church. See, a trans person, when they change from a man to a woman, that is a spit in God's face. Because what they're telling God is that you had no idea how you made me, and I'm not good enough. And the way that you made me is not good enough. I need to be something and someone else. See, the Bible says we're made in the image of God. Is anybody with me? I mean, church, I'm just trying to be real with you. These scriptures are really proving themselves. And the Bible says they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Don't let them drag you down. So let's talk about the ark for a moment. What is the ark? The ark was Noah's place of safety that God had for him and his family. The ark provided safety from the judgment, from destruction, from death, and from annihilation. The ark provided life after the flood for Noah and his family and the living creatures. The ark provided every need for Noah and his family. As Noah built the ark, Noah put food on the ark to survive, and not just for himself, but the animals. The ark provided shelter and warmth as well. The ark was Noah's safety spot. And how do you relate that to today? That Jesus Christ is our ark of safety today, and he will keep you from the wrath of God. The incredible news is that we can become righteous just like Noah was in his day. This is not just some story that's unreached. This is a man that lived by faith and is an example that we should follow in. John 14, 6. Again, what did the Bible say? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me, he said. Okay? We shared that one. But Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of all of our sins and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness or all wickedness. That's a promise that if we'll turn to him, he'll do that. Romans 10, 13, if anyone or everyone calls the name upon the Lord, they'll be saved. Romans 5, 9, I love this. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Jesus Christ, watch this, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation or God's wrath. There's the verse. Anybody just pick up on that? Okay, I did. I'm pretty excited about it, along with the other two people this morning. Listen, this ought to excite you today. Because the fact is, yes, we've got Noah and we've got his ark. What a great story. But what about us? What about our future? What about what's happening in our own country and around the world? Who knows what's going to happen? But I do know this, we've got a promise that whenever God does judge the earth, he is not going to throw the godly people into that judgment. That's an incredible promise right there. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it gets better. Here's the Apostle Paul. He says, for God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our ark of safety. And watch this, not to pour out his anger on us. That's the reason we're saved. He is our ark of safety today. We don't need to go build a big boat. I don't know if you ever watched Evan Almighty. Did anybody ever watch Evan Almighty? What a funny movie. It really put it into perspective, honestly. And I mean, again, we know it was a movie, but the fact was it kind of brought you in a little bit to be like, man, if God really told Noah to do this, look at all the people that mocked him and didn't believe him. And I mean, every day when he was building that ark, people walked by and mocked him, scoffed him. But I promise you this, the very first raindrop that they ever felt hit their head, they began to panic. It had never rained before. All the watering came up from the ground before the flood. Everybody never rained. So I want you to think about this. When the rain began to drop, can you imagine? People were looking up in the sky and going, what is this? And then all of a sudden, Noah and his family are on the ark. God closed the door and sealed the door, and panic sets in. They had 120 years to turn to God. Noah, it took about 75 years to build the ark, but God gave them 120 years to respond to him, and they never did. I promise you this, when they felt those raindrops, they panicked. See, Noah and his family had nothing to worry about because he obeyed God and built this ark of safety. And church, the same thing is today for us. Jesus Christ is your ark of safety. I don't know what other scriptures to share with you this morning. I mean, these scriptures up here literally tell us that you're not going to experience God's wrath and judgment because through Jesus Christ, he's our ark of safety. I want you to see how he is our ark of safety. I could tell you all day he's our ark of safety, but let me show you the scriptures. He's our ark of safety today from eternal damnation and separation from God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Okay, he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's a promise. And then verse 17, God did not send his son into this world to condemn it. He sent his son into this world so that some might be what? Saved. Jesus is your ark of safety from eternal damnation and separation from God. John 10:10. The Bible says this, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And he's not talking about money there. I'm not turning this into some prosperity gospel. He's talking about spiritually rich and safe in him. A life that you know God is real. Jesus is your ark of safety from sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made what? right with Christ. Noah was righteous in God's eyes, and guess what? Through Jesus, we can be the same. Romans 6:14, the Bible says this, and here's the Apostle Paul again, and he says this: sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. That's through Jesus. So he saves us. He's an ark of safety from eternal damnation and separation from him forever, and then from sin, and then from poverty, both spiritually and physically. Watch what the Bible says here. Again, Philippians 4:19. And this is the same God who takes care of me. He will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. That's spiritual and physical. So, how is our world so screwed up? How is there hunger in all these other countries? Because man has taken their free will, and look what they have done, church. It's all over the place. Look at Nigeria right now. They're killing Christians by the hundreds every single week and murdering them in their church buildings. This is going on everywhere. People have used their free will to do a lot of evil things. But God says, listen, my son, Jesus Christ, is your ark of safety. Make sure that you are in him. See, Jesus is your ark of safety today from Satan. 1 John 3:8-9. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. And this is talking about continual, habitual sin, okay? Not that you mess up every once in a while, because there's no perfect human being, okay? How many of you guys would say, I am definitely different than who I used to be because of Jesus? So watch this. The Bible puts it this way: because the devil has been sinning from the beginning, but the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to destroy the works of the devil. So those who have been born into God's family do not make a what? Practice of sinning. Because God's life is in them. There's a change. So they can't keep on sinning because they're children of God. If you keep on sinning, you're a very miserable person because the conviction of God is all over you. Colossians 2:15, Paul writes this: in this way, Jesus, the Son of God, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Listen, everything points to Jesus this morning. Everything is about Jesus this morning. I'm not your ark of safety. This church is not your ark of safety. Your family's not your ark of safety. There's not a job that's your ark of safety. It is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone this morning. And church, that is what the scriptures point to. If we look at a story like Noah and we're like, how does this make sense today? You have to filter it through one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is your ark of safety from confusion and guilt. Isaiah 53 puts it like this, and I love this: yet it was our weakness he carried. He carried my weakness, my sin. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. No, a punishment for our own sins. God, Jesus didn't do anything wrong. But he was pierced for our rebellion or our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities or our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. I mean, church, I don't know where you're at this morning, individually or as a family. But if we were to just say, hey, let's go home today right now, you've got some great news sitting right here in front of you. This is what Jesus has not only done for us, but this is who he is for us. Jesus is not past tense. Jesus is present, and he is future. Again, number three on the back of your outline this morning: how do we enter the door of Jesus, who is our ark of safety? How do you enter through the same door just like Noah did? Well, Genesis 7:1 puts it like this. Let's go through the story, the next chapter. When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, go into the boat with all of your family, for among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are what? Righteous. Jesus makes us right in God's sight, right? So, verse 5. So Noah did how much? Everything. Listen, if you're just trying to make Jesus part of your life, and you just keep the other part of your life, it's not going to work. If there's anything in this story that speaks to us today, Jesus has to be everything. He has to be number one. There's no shortcuts. I know that we're in February right now. February 1st is today. Some of you have already planned your vacations. Some of you are already looking at the shortest way to get to your destination, because when you clock out, you are ready to go. Is anybody with me? You're ready to hit the beach. You're ready to hit the mountains, whatever it is. Okay? Or whitewater at Branson. I don't know where you're going, but the fact is you're going to want to get a shortcut. There are no shortcuts with this. Noah did everything as the Lord commanded him. Look at verse 9. So they entered the boat in pairs, male and female, just as God had commanded. We're talking about the animals, okay? Verse 13. That very day, Noah had gone to the boat with his sons and his wives, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. His family was saved. Verse 15. Two by two, here comes the animals into the boat, representing every living thing that breathes. That's an incredible scripture right there. And it takes faith to believe this story, but it also takes faith to believe that God's got your back in the future, too. Here's what Paul writes in Revelation 3:7. Write this letter to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true. Watch this. The one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. When God shuts the door, that's it. And when God opens the door, it's his door. See, when Noah and his family got on the boat, it was God who shut the door. I didn't put the scriptures up here, but John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus in John chapter 10 says, listen, people are going to try to sneak into heaven. They're going to try to sneak into heaven. You can't sneak into heaven. Jesus goes on, and in the verses later, he says, I'm the door, I'm the gate. If you want to get to heaven, you have to go through the door. I want you to understand this today. We love Jesus, our Savior. Can anybody say amen? It only talks about Savior 37 times in the Bible. It talks about Jesus being Lord over 700 times. I'm glad for my Savior today. I wouldn't be here without him. But I also know that if I did not do my part and remain faithful to him, that he is not my Lord. I want you to know this, the difference there. I put it down for you. That is staggering. 37 times as our Savior, but over 700 times as Lord. What the emphasis is, obey me. I don't want to be a taskmaster for you, but I want you to obey me so that I can help guide your life, so that you don't go off the cliff. See, Acts chapter 2, 31 and 33, the Bible says this, and again, I look at these scriptures here, and they're just so powerful. David was looking into the future. Here's King David. He was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection, that Jesus would resurrect one day. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. He would be resurrected one day. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Verse 33, now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out on all of us as you see today. Listen, there's going to be a day when Christ returns and there's going to be a resurrection. But you got to understand, the Bible says right there that he is Lord. He's not just Savior, he's Lord. See, in closing today, Noah was God's lifeguard for his generation. Hebrews 11:7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened. That is incredible to me. That takes incredible faith. You know, the things that the Bible talks about that are coming in the book of Revelation one day, we've never seen. I mean, we've seen a lot of stuff. Social media today allows us to see probably a lot more stuff than we ever could have imagined around the world. But there's a lot of stuff we haven't seen yet, church. And the Bible makes it very clear here. Noah warned his generation about what was to come. And when you look at this, as Noah warned his generation of the coming judgment, of worldwide flood, of that judgment that would hit, we are to warn our own generation of the coming judgment of the worldwide fire that's coming. And let me take you to 2 Peter again real quick. 2 Peter 2, 3, 2 through 4. I want you to remember again what the holy prophet said long ago and what the Lord and our Savior, notice Lord and Savior, commanded through the apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you in the last days that scoffers are going to come. They're going to mock the truth. They're going to follow their own desires. They're going to say, what happened to this event where Jesus is going to come back one day? Because our ancestors, we know that from the very beginning, nothing's ever happened like that. It's a lie. But if you go down to verse 9, Peter says this, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. What promise is that to return? He's not being slow. What's the reason for him not coming back yet? Because some people think he's slow, but watch this. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed or to perish, but he wants everyone to repent. I get asked all the time as a pastor, when do you think Jesus is coming back? I don't know, because the Bible says there's no day or hour that we know of. So I can't give you an answer, but I will tell you this. The signs that Jesus gives are building and building and building. And the one reason that Jesus has not come back yet is because there are still people that need to repent and to be saved. Period. That's what the Bible says. Verse 11, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this by fire, holy and godly lives that you should live. It's good advice right there. Verse 13 in the same chapter. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth that he promised, a world filled with God's righteousness, not with violence anymore or corruptness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, there you go, guys. There's the key. Peter says, listen, these things are going to happen. And while you're waiting for these things to come about one day, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in whose sight? God's. Not my sight as a pastor, not your sight, and God's sight, because he is our Savior. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. Man, can anybody say amen? What if he didn't save you and you died without him? I want you to think about that. The reason you're still alive today is because he's being patient with you and he wants to save you and your family. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with wisdom that he gave to God. So church, as we look at this today, I look at Acts chapter 8, verse 4. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus absolutely everywhere that they went. They warned their generation. They were the lifeguard to their generation. As our worship team comes back this morning, and Ashley, I did that in 38 minutes, not bad. Ashley thought I was going to go an hour on this today, and I proved her wrong. 38 minutes, gal. But I'm still not done, so it'll probably be 40. Here we go. In our closing today, do not live in sin, but live a life that makes the teaching of our God attractive. Church, Noah's day was violent, sinful, corrupt, evil, you name it. But here's what the Apostle Paul tells us in Titus. He says, here's the deal. I want you to show yourself, but you must. Don't steal. Don't get into sin. Don't do all this stuff. But you must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Don't fall into corruptness. Be trustworthy and good. And watch this. Then they will make the teaching about the God, our Savior, attractive in how many ways? Every way. I want you to think about that. If we live a life of corruptness, how are other people going to listen to our message? If we are involved in scandals, why would somebody want to hear from us that Jesus can save you? It wouldn't happen. He says, if you want to make the teaching about God attractive and very attractive in every area, live a life trustworthy and good. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. They have to turn and accept it. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom and righteousness and devotion to God, just like Noah did, while we look with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. I love that section of scripture there. You want to talk about wrapping it up in an incredible way? Titus, man, I mean, Paul nails it. We look into the future with hope. How do we do that? Because of Jesus. As you stand this morning, Matthew 25:21 tells us this. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let our baptism candidates go. Church, are you excited about water baptisms today? I am. I think that's awesome. So when we do water baptisms, it means that someone has given their life to the Lord, that someone is saying publicly, I will follow him. I'm so excited this morning. We've got water baptisms in the second service today, more of those. We've got one person in the first service today, and he has become a great friend. His name's Adam, and I will tell you, this man is living for the Lord. He is doing the best that he can. He has been heartbroken. He has been through a ton of stuff, but to watch him give his life to the Lord and follow his life, or follow the Lord again in his life, is an incredible thing. We'll celebrate that with him today. But Matthew 25:21 says this, the master was full of praise. Here's what he said. Well done, my good and my faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things or handling this small account. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. And he said, let's go celebrate together. That's the words that I want to hear when I stand before Jesus one day. I don't want to hear, depart from me and get away from me, you evildoers. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Is anybody with me? That's the words we want to hear. That's what Noah heard, okay? That's what Noah heard, and that's what we need to hear. But it takes a life of living like Noah to be righteous before God, to listen to God and obey God, and then do what God says. If Noah could be faithful to the Lord, we can be faithful too, church. And Jesus is our ark of safety today. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you for these incredible stories in the Bible. And they're not just stories. These are real lives. These are real situations. And Lord, you've taught us this morning that by faith, Noah believed you and he did what you asked him to do. So there's no difference between Noah and us. And the fact that you are our ark of safety today, Jesus, and you want us to live for you. You want us to do what you've asked us to do. You want us to represent you and in a very attractive way. God, I pray today that we would live good and godly lives so that as we share Jesus with people and warn our generation about what's to come, that they will look at our lives and go, something's different about you, and we can tell them that it's Jesus. Lord, we believe today. We believe in the name of Jesus. We believe in Jesus, our Savior. We believe in Jesus, our Lord. So Jesus, I pray today, and I thank you for being our ark of safety as we sing to you and worship you. I pray that if there's anybody in here today that needs to get right with you, that they would call on you today. They would ask that you would forgive them of their sins and that they would confess you as their Lord and Savior with their mouth. And they would begin to follow you. Even if it's just one person today, God, it's not an accident that they are here hearing this message. Help us as a church to be faithful to you, just like Noah was. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this together, church.